Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're going to be talking about self-sabotage, and I know that many of us engage in self-sabotage, some of us more often than others, some of us more consciously aware of our self-sabotage, while others of us not as conscious of what is actually taking place. And so on today's show, we're going to be analyzing different types of self-sabotage, because I think sometimes we don't even realize that some of the things that we're engaged in on a daily basis is actually hurting us. It's getting in the way of our happiness. It's getting in the way of our joy. And it's creating conflict in our life. And I know that a lot of people say, well, why is it that I self-sabotage? Why is it that I'm walking down this pathway? You know, how do I not see this? And it goes back to our core beliefs. And we're going to talk more about that, about how our core beliefs kind of set us up for these types of situations. But first of all, I want to describe, you know, what self-sabotage is. And it's, you know, it's basically creating the problems in our life, right? It's destructive behavior that is getting in the way of us having successful action. It's hampering us. It's thwarting our success and our ability. It's deliberate subversion. And so when this is happening, we're hindering our own progress. And it can get not only very destructive, but sometimes if it's left untreated and unrecognized, it can really change our life and create havoc in our life. And I recently put out some videos that we're working out on YouTube as well on self-sabotage, how to understand self-sabotage, why we do it consciously, unconsciously, looking at those types of patterns, as well as going back to our core beliefs and understanding why we do what we do. Because once we understand those types of patterns in our life, we're able to do what? We're able to change them. We're able to recognize it, change it, and move on. And so this is going to be a very powerful show. Adriana, thank you so much for joining me today live on Live Your True Life Perspectives. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. I know that we've been talking about the concept of self-sabotage. And, you know, tell me what comes to mind when you think of self-sabotage.
Yep. Kind of going back to what you said, it's just destructive behavior and just basically, like, for me, it just goes back to core beliefs of not being worthy, not feeling like I deserve a good life, not feeling worthy in general. So I do things to hinder my progress in life. And sometimes I don't even know that I'm doing self-sabotaging behaviors. I mean, it's taken years to learn the different types, and I pretty much do everyone under the sun, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, it's kind of become second nature in my life, and I don't even know I'm doing it, but I'm seeing the signs of the different ones that I've done for sure.
And I get it. And I still have little bouts of self-sabotage, and it's interesting how, we all do it to some degree. I'm not saying everybody out on the planet's doing it. You know, somebody might be listening to this show and saying, I never self-sabotage. And that's fine. That's great. That's awesome. We're really happy for you. And that's a good thing. But there's probably somebody in your life that is self-sabotaging to some degree, and maybe this might help them. So let's talk about the first one. And this is the one that I think gets a lot of us. And I think that it can really take over our life, is that negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would say that I'm the queen of negative self-talk, unfortunately. Again, go back to core belief. I mean, I've been shown and told multiple times that I'm not worthy, or I just felt like a bad person. So I'm always talking negatively to myself, like I can't do something, or I'm stupid, or I'm not capable. And just those words are just so self-destructive, and people say it all the time. I hear people say it all the time. Like, I can't do this. I'm stupid. I'm like, don't say that, because it is self-sabotage. And in a way, it can become like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a sense as well. Because if you keep telling yourself that you can't do something, then no, you're not going to be able to do it. So it's negative self-talk is something that everybody under the sun does. There's no doubt. So it's just, how do we go about changing it and putting it in a more positive light rather than I can't do this? Maybe say, I can do it. It's hard, but I can do it.
So, and that's interesting that you bring that up. I like that because you're right. I have a family member, I'm not going to name who, but I have a family member that has real issues with their computer. And they recently switched to a Macintosh after years and years of using a different computer. And I thought it was going to be a great idea. I still think it's a great idea, but it's funny because they do. It's this whole negative self-talk. Like, they'll call me and I can't figure this out. I never get this right. I'm horrible with technology. Mm-hmm. I don't even understand. I don't even know how to turn the computer on. I don't even get it. You know? and it's this whole thing. And I'm like, you know how to do this. You know how to do this, mm-hmm. you know? But you're right. It's like right when we tell ourselves that we can't do it or we're no good, we automatically put our mindset and our feelings and our body into that reactionary state where we feel as though that is our truth.
And a big thing, there's a big fear of failure. I mean, it's easier to just give up and say, well, I can't do it, than try something and then fail and they say, look, I knew it. I couldn't do it. So that's probably also another big contributing factor is that fear of failure that's in there as well.
Not fear. I know that. Yeah, that's true.
That's one for me, for sure.
So, how, like, the fear of failure, does that get in the way of doing things a lot? Like, when you're trying something new, or is it trying something new specifically, or what? When does that kind of come into play?
I don't know. I think just in general, just a fear of failure. Fear of failing other people, a fear of failing myself, and it's just easier to not try because I don't want to. Just failure in general just makes me feel like the worst person, and then there we go back full square to the negative self-talk. So it's all connected. It's all connected. The not trying, the fear of failure, then equals the negative self-talk. It's all connected.
What does failure look like to you?
Failure to me is when, I'm laughing because it's all connected, is not trying and not putting in my best effort and just not being good enough for something. But then again, another form of self-sabotage is not trying. So my brain just goes spinning because it's all connected. But fear of failure is just letting other people down, letting myself down, not being good enough. All of those things.
Okay, so fear of failure, not being good enough, letting yourself down. And I think a lot of you listening to the show right now is that negative self-talk, you know, goes back to those core beliefs. And those core beliefs, let's talk about that real quick, just so everybody kind of understands. Those core beliefs are kind of the basis of our thought process. You know, they were created early on at a very young age for us, you know, inspired by the things that were told by parents or people around us or teachers or friends or anything about who we are. Things that we acquired by situations that took place in our life, you know, so if something went good or bad, or some things didn't work out or people seemed to leave. So, for example, if dad left mom at a really early age and, you know, you were raised by mom and maybe your aunt, you know, maybe someone else leaves in your life, you think that everybody always leaves you. You know, there's lots of different tales that we tell ourselves based on the situations that take place or how we're treated. And then how, like, so if we're treated poorly, right, we immediately feel like we're not worthy of being treated well, or we're never going to be treated well, or this is all I deserve. If we feel like we've been unloved, you know, I'm not worthy of being loved, I'm unlovable. Those are examples, I think, of core beliefs. Can you think of other ones, Adriana?
Pretty much, like, just not being good enough. And honestly, like, another core belief can be I'm stupid because, like you said, like, people sometimes feed these messages to me. It could have just been a teacher, but, like, that's a simple core belief. I'm stupid, not good enough, unlovable. Everybody leaves me. That's another big one. I'm the problem. So, yeah, those are the top core beliefs that I sit with. Just pretty much not being good enough or worthy are the big ones for me.
Those are big ones. I mean, those are big ones, and I think a lot of people have those. And I feel that gets in the way. You're right. It literally, that's the setting the scene. It's like the It's like the mission statement, right? So we have a mission statement for any sort of business or corporation or nonprofit, and it's like what we do in the mission statement, but it's the same thing as when we have these core beliefs that get in the way, but we don't really hear them. And the thing is about the core beliefs is that they get hidden by our day-to-day life. So we have all these daily responsibilities. We have a work commitment. Many of you have family, children, you know, adult parents that you have to take care of, multiple layers of responsibility, also drama that takes place in your life, things that are happening in your marriage or with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever's happening, got all that going on. You're also thinking about what other people are doing and that sort of thing. And then underneath all this is our core beliefs that really inherently get us into sometimes some very good situations and can sometimes get us into some very unhealthy situations based on what we're thinking and based on those core beliefs.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's talk about the concept of not trying. I know that not trying is something that a lot of us do. It's like, well, I'm not even going to try that. You know, I don't even want to deal with it. Tell me, when was the last time you can remember, you know, being in a situation where you're like, you know what, I'm not even going to try this, or I'm just not going to go there?
I mean, honestly, this is like a personal one for me. I'm honestly doing that right now. I've been diagnosed with an eating disorder. And I hate saying this because then I do feel bad about saying this, but like not trying, like, you know, you're supposed to eat 3 meals a day. That's the typical thing. And then some. And then I just don't do that, unfortunately. And that just goes into not trying. I mean, I know what to do. I have the skills. I have the tools. I've learned everything. I've been to treatment multiple times, but I don't put them into use. So that, for me, just goes into not trying because, again, just the fear of failure and actually just fear of any emotion that may just come up with trying. So for me, that's what not trying looks like.
Okay. And so that's almost like so it's circular, right? So we know what we need to do. We're not doing it. And then that reinforces the core beliefs.
That you're not good enough. Or that you're just not good enough. That you're unable to do something.
Let me ask you.
And that you'll be good enough. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Sorry for interrupting. Okay, like, for example, yes, there's a lot of folks out here, I know that's listening to the show, that are dealing with eating disorders, or your family members dealing with eating disorder. When it's time to eat, how hard is it sometimes? Is it just like you feel like you're fighting up, you know, you're going uphill, or what is...
When it's time to eat, how hard is it?
Yeah, like, how hard is it to try to eat and not be able to do that, or to, you know, not be able to convince yourself or not push through that? Is it the underlying core belief system that's saying, hey, don't even do it, you're not worthy, don't do
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, there's that, and then there's just the two different voices in your head that are constantly fighting back and forth. There's the eating disorder voice saying you're not good enough, you don't need it, I'm here to protect you, and you can just lean on me and I'll take care of you. And then there's the healthy part that's like, no, Adriana, you got to eat. You know what to do. You have the skills. You have the tools. And just it's hard because they're enmeshed, those two voices, and it's hard to differentiate between the two. So when it comes time to eat, yeah, I know what to do, but then I get full on anxiety attack because I know what to do, but my body just will not let me do it, and my mind won't let me do it. It's incredibly frustrating.
That's very insightful. When we return, we're talking more about that and understanding more self-sabotage and really being able to dig in deep to this concept today. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I started my business in 1986 and began paying employees. I would handwrite checks and say, "Here you go. Don't cash it until Tuesday." That came to a screeching halt when a teenage employee said his dad wanted to see his pay stub. "Pay stub? We don't have pay stubs. Get back to work." He said, "Dad works for the government and state law requires I receive a pay stub." Uh-oh. Hi, I'm Mike Kappel, CEO of Patriot Software. After many emergency calls, I learned how to correctly withhold payroll taxes and create pay stubs. I avoided handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit that day, barely. That's why I created Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll taxes correctly with pay stubs. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, Adriana and I are talking about self-sabotage. And right before the break, we were talking about the concept of dealing with not trying, not doing. And we were talking about it in the context of, you know, eating and dealing with an eating disorder and how it can be super hard when you're trying to put into practice, like, overcoming the core beliefs to make that happen. So, Adriana, right before the break, we were talking about this. So, it's almost like you know what you need to do, right? But then it's like all of a sudden the core beliefs get in the way?
Absolutely. I mean, just like I said earlier, like, my core beliefs are I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving of a good life or happiness. So, that gets in the way all the time, the eating. And like, for another example, like, I am prescribed medication to help with my anxiety, depression, and I just purposely don't take my medication because I know that if I take my medication, it's going to help me. It's going to help me feel better. It's going to just ease any anxiety, depression that I'm dealing with. So again, like, and again, I hate the terminology not trying, because just that just has such a negative connotation to it. It's more just those core beliefs, honestly, and struggling with how struggling with how to manage them and how to overcome those thoughts.
I think it's interesting because you're right. It's almost like, and I know for some of you out there, you know, whether it's an eating disorder or taking medication that really helps you or going to the gym and working out because you know you need it, but it's like making yourself do it almost. Do you feel like in order to eat, sometimes you have to absolutely force yourself to do the opposite of what you want to do?
That's the terminology I learned in residential. It's opposite action. You just purposely do what you don't want to do, and then it just trains your brain. It's to keep doing the thing that you don't want to do, if that makes any sense. It's literally called opposite action. So
if you do opposite action, train your brain to do the opposite. But it's hard, right, because it takes several weeks to work up to that, and it's almost like, you know, you're having to be vigilant about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's something I'm still practicing. It is incredibly hard because you're doing something that goes against your belief, and it's a scary thing to do, and it's going out of your comfort zone, and going out of your comfort zones is incredibly scary. But if you want to, just get any sort of relief in life and move from these negative core beliefs that you have to do opposite action. That's what I've been taught. It does work. It takes a hell of a lot of practice. It's not going to happen overnight. It could even take months, honestly. So, but that's a big one that I have learned. It's very helpful.
And that's interesting. You're right. Taking opposite action. But again, even with taking opposite action, you might take opposite action 3 or 4 days in a row, but then all of a sudden those core beliefs get really deep again.
Mm-hmm.
It starts swirling around in your head, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to eat.
Yep, absolutely. And that's when you really have to even just, if you have to, write positive affirmations. I always hated being told to do those because I thought it was the stupidest thing, but it's honestly just retraining your brain. Write those positive affirmations, read them out loud to yourself multiple times a day, and then your brain your brain starts to believe it. It's just all about retraining the brain. So
that makes sense. It's all about retraining the brain. So everybody that's listening, you know, this is the biggest deal, is that we're just trying to retrain our brain. We're trying to connect with that. We're also trying to realize, too, that we are human. We're allowed to make mistakes. But all in all, it's doing that opposite action where we can do the opposite than we've done, but we're at the same time we're doing something that's good for us, and everything is consistent. So when we return, we'll be talking more about opposite action. We're also going to be talking more about different types of self-sabotage that many of us might be currently engaged in, just to understand, because some of the stuff that we might be doing as far as self-sabotage is concerned, we might not even realize it's self-sabotage. So we definitely need to look at that too, just so that we honestly see it and understand it for what it is. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling of giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden is on defense now that we've learned the cost estimate of his student loan forgiveness plan, $240 billion spread over 10 years, assuming that 75% of those who are eligible would take advantage of it. He told reporters that he would consider it a success if 10% took advantage of the program. Republicans not convinced it's a good idea, South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune told the PBS NewsHour that Biden's action is fundamentally unfair.
Particularly if you think about all those Americans out there and those families, many of whom never had the opportunity to go to college, or those who did and paid their loans down already, paid them back, or their parents pinched pennies and made it possible for them to get through college.
Thune adds that those who paid off their loans are being asked to pay for those who still have them. This is USA Radio News.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is Jay Fusey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm joined by Adriana. We've been talking about self-sabotage. If you're just now tuning in, we've been talking about self-sabotage in various different forms and how to overcome some of these core beliefs that we have created in our life, and how these core beliefs really honestly contribute directly to our self-sabotage. And so, Adriana, we were talking about this. So, you know, we just talked a little bit about the opposite action and working on that in relation to eating disorders, in relation to other different things that happens. It's like trying to do the opposite of what we've been trained to do based on our core belief system. But let me ask you, because I know this to be the case. It's funny how you can, not funny, but it's true how you have the mental, the emotional, and the physicality of it. It's almost like in regards to an eating disorder, it would be hard to eat to do the opposite action, because it's not only that you have those core beliefs, but it's almost like you're not even hungry. I mean, do you feel that way too?
That definitely is a thing. I mean, you're honestly not hungry. I mean, there's such thing as losing your hunger cues. If you're doing this long enough, your body just loses those hunger cues. So no, you're not hungry. And that's not a good thing. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question for me?
Yeah, no, you answered it. So there's a physicality piece too, and that's the key.
Yep.
And so I feel like it's almost like when we do different things, and you know, we physically can feel them. Like for example, we've all done this. I think to some degree, like we actually imagine ourselves into being sick. Or we can create the reality that we got food poison. Like you might see somebody, you know, throw up at a table and you automatically go, oh my God, I'm going to have food poisoning. We already start thinking we're sweating and we're feeling bad. Well, we didn't even eat the same food, but you know, there's a possibility that we could be sick. And so our brain can create that reality, much less when we kind of address a situation and see it for a certain way. We usually go into that thought process. So if we're usually not eating or we usually don't feel hungry, not only is the opposite action something we have to do, but it's like overcoming even the physicality, those physical cues that we've been given as well.
Yeah. I mean, it can honestly physically be painful, but you got to eat. We were put on this earth. You got to have food. So again, I don't know how many times I can stress opposite action. I mean, that's what you have to do in order to keep moving forward. There is no other way unless you just, again, like, don't try, which I hate saying, but not doing what is best for you.
So
even when you don't believe that it's best for you, you still got to do it.
Even if you don't believe, right? Exactly. That's the key, is like, it's overcoming that belief.
Yep. It's hard. It's hard, but it's possible.
Let's change the direction a bit and talk about engaging with toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I know many people out there engage in toxic relationships, whatever. Let's talk about that. You know, when we engage in toxic relationships, do you find that that's definite self-sabotage? And like, can you think back at a time that you have dealt with that on your own and seen it for what it is?
I mean, toxic people, I don't know why. I have this gift of just being, like, there's a magnet drawn to toxic people. And I don't know why I have this amazing gift, but, like, I really don't know, but just something, I'm just, again, you're hindering your own growth by hanging around people who are toxic, who don't care about their own growth. And I still honestly don't understand why I do that, why I'm drawn to those people. That's a big one. That's a big one for me.
Is being drawn to toxicity.
Yes. I don't know why it happens. I mean, just something about them, their lifestyle, I really don't know.
Do you think that it's kind of an addiction quality? I mean, because we're going back with the core beliefs and some of those things that are so toxic about them seem so effervescent to some degree because it links up with those core beliefs.
Like, usually the toxic people I hang around do not have values that match up with mine. They don't value themselves. They just don't value themselves. And for me, I'm still struggling with finding the value in myself. And I guess we have that in common. And we just, I don't know. I really don't know.
Struggling.
I mean, usually the toxic people I hang around with are ones that'll just jump in and say, you know, how much they love me, how much they care about me. I'm the greatest thing. And they make promises they can't keep. And I just latch onto that every time. And then I just learn about their lifestyle and, again, their values. And then I learn after the fact that maybe these aren't people I should be hanging around with. I don't always know they're toxic from the get-go. Like, it's not like always like, oh, look, these people are toxic. I'm going to choose them to go hang out with. It usually takes a little bit of time to see the environment and then learn about them. And then I'm like, all right, maybe they're not the best thing for me because of their behaviors.
Okay. So, yeah, you don't know that they're toxic to begin with, but you kind of get drawn to certain personalities.
Yeah. And then when you know, or when I know, I just you would think that the light bulb would go off and be like, okay, these people aren't the best people for me. But no, my brain goes to, all right, well, they're showing me attention. They're showing me love. They're showing me attention. I'm going to stay with them because they're feeding something that I'm thriving for. And that's what's most important. I don't really care about their behaviors, their values. I just care about what they're giving me right now in this moment. And then that just throws all my values and self-worth and self-care out the window because I don't care about any of that.
And so them giving you attention in that moment is filling that need, and it's also creating value to some degree. And so if they're giving attention, I'm going to thwart my own needs or desires if theirs needs to be first, or if I need to acquiesce, or basically to continue to get that attention.
Yep, I mean, it feeds the core belief. It helps with that core belief of not being worthy. Okay, well, they're showing me that I am worthy by doing this, that, and the other. But they could be the nastiest people on earth. They could be doing drugs. They can be just any kind of substances. They're just gaslighting the heck out of me. I don't care. As long as they're giving me that thing that I yearn for, that's all I care about, and I'm going to stick with that rather than any of the other negative stuff that's happening.
So you're going to just focus on that in the moment, and then then all of a sudden it's like we stop focusing on, or we don't focus on any of the toxicity, and then all of a sudden it's like we kind of wake up to the realization of what's happening, and then things are really out of control.
Yeah. Yep. And then you know, and then you're like, maybe this isn't the best thing for me. Maybe I am being, I had a wake-up call personally. I'm like, all right, these people aren't the best. They're dragging me down. I honestly said to myself, I don't deserve to be around toxic people. They're doing nothing for me. They're adding no value, and they're just keeping me back in life. And that took a long time for me to get there. But I did see it, and I'm glad that I got myself out of those relationships.
But, yeah, it took a while to see it, but when you did see it, was it crystal clear?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was very obvious. I mean, for so many reasons, and I'm, like, I beat myself up because I ignored it, and I just thought, like, they're giving me love. They're giving me attention. It's all that matters. And then I look back, and I'm like, my life. Like, if I was in that relationship right now, God knows where I would be. I don't want to know where I would be because it scares the crap out of me to think about that. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting, these toxic relationships, too, is that, you know, a lot of people get into them. There's that attention that feels good, you know, and that's inspiring. But you're right. There can be all these red flags. And the interesting part about that is, we can overlook the red flags. We can spin them around in our head. We can turn it around. We can see things that are obvious to us, but we keep continuing to give the benefit of the doubt.
And then again, like, goes back to the core beliefs. Like, well, I'm not worried. Like, I deserve this anyway. I deserve hanging around, like, being around these toxic people. It's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. Nothing good is going to happen for me anyway. So you just stay in that situation. That's how it was for me. Like, I just thought that's what I deserved at the time.
So you kind of spin it around and go, well, I'm reaping what I sow. You know, this is reality. I'm just going to, these are the types of friends that I'm going to have, and I'm just going to go along with this.
Mm-hmm. But then you have that wake-up call. God willing, you have that wake-up call. And then it just hits you. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. And then you do the next right thing for yourself.
Yeah, and it's trying to figure out, and that's why, you know, that's why we're talking about this on the show today, guys, is that if you're listening, you know, we want you to be able to hit that wake-up call, but we'd like to have it where it's not a real painful one. You know, it's like, it's one thing to be able to say, okay, hey, I see what's going on, I see what's coming down the road, you know, I see the train coming down the tracks, and I'm, you know, I'm going to make a move. But a lot of times it's hard, because a lot of times we don't make that move until, you know, it hurts, and until things get bad, when we finally go, okay, I got to step back, or I got to self-protect myself in that situation, and that can be challenging, too, because if you're with some real toxic people, they can turn that around on you and make it your fault for what happened, even though it necessarily wasn't your fault. And then when that happens, then that reinforces the negative thoughts in our own head, because we put ourselves in a position. And then we didn't realize the toxicity at the time, or didn't want to see it.
And then there we are in the situation. And then when you call it out, that's when a lot of times people will not take responsibility for their actions, and then you're left holding the proverbial emotional bag.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate and really, really messed up. I mean, there's always two people in a relationship. There's no person that's just the one common denominator, the problem of everything. It's never that. So if you're ever told that, because I've been told that, it's not true. They're just saying that to get some power. They, like, not taking responsibility because they can't see their own mess up and what they did. So, been there, done that. It's never all one person's fault. Takes two to tango.
Yes, I agree with you. And then the problem, too, with toxic relationships, and when we talk about toxic, we're not using toxic just, you know, throwing the word out there. What we're saying about toxicity is the fact that, you know, a healthy relationship is one where we can communicate, one where we can see eye to eye and have communication. But in a toxic relationship, when things are out of sorts and out of kilter, there's not a lot of healthy communication. And then when something does go wrong in these types of relationships, a lot of times, you know, there's no discussion, there's no communication, there's a lot of blame, and then there's a lot of, you know, ignoring, and then there's also that part, there can be a part of ghosting, there can be a part of, you know, putting the other person down, there can be various levels of abuse to a degree, where maybe talking about the other person, or bringing up the other person in groups of other people and talking negatively about them, ganging up on them. There's a lot of cyber bullying out there, there's real bullying, so there's lots of different levels of toxicity that we're talking about. But that's the problem, is that when that toxicity hits, it hits at such a crescendo, when you're trying to get out of it, it's like you're just trying to save yourself to some degree. But yet, the person that really, the other person that was involved is not taking any responsibility for what they brought into your life.
Right. Right. And it's a hard situation, it's a sad situation when that happens, but that's where blocking comes in sometimes.
We talked about that. We talked about that.
We did.
Day.
That's where blocking can come in.
And it's on both sides. And the sad thing, though, is that when we're unable to communicate, and that's something that I find in every toxic relationship, is the inability to communicate with each other and be able to at least listen to each other's point of view and communicate to a certain degree. And that's what toxicity is to me, is when we have lost all ability to communicate properly, and that's when the relationship becomes toxic.
Absolutely. That, like, that if there's no communication, and there's no relationship, and I, if it's all self-blame towards the other person, that's horrible. Not the way to go. So,
yeah, and it's all self-blame to one person. We know that that's not real. And unfortunately, you know, it does take two to tango. But again, we have to have responsibility for our actions, and that can be challenging. But when we return, Adriana and I are going to talk a little bit more about self-sabotage. We're going to be talking about, you know, focusing on others. You know, some of us are self-medicating, you know, and there's no judgment here on this show. It's all about talking about honesty and truth and just putting it out there. But there's a lot of folks self-medicating, whether it's alcohol or drugs, trying to numb some of the feelings. But mostly numbing some of those thoughts. We're trying to, you know, quiet those core beliefs down. You know, those I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, this is never going to work for me. Those types of things. That's what, you know, self-medication is used for. Procrastination, not doing what we need to do, and then having that self-fulfilling prophecy. We don't finish it, we don't do it. See, I knew I wasn't going to be successful. There's multiple ways, a way we make these core values become true by this self-sabotaging behavior, and validates those core beliefs. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about that and wrapping up the show. You don't want to miss it. And we have a lot more to talk about. But again, if you're dealing with this, let's get it out in the open. Let's be able to see it. Let's acknowledge it, and let's stop it. And ultimately, let's change our action. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking and discussing about self-sabotaging behavior, what that means. We've talked about the negative self-talk, not trying, you know, engaging with toxic people. And there's a lot more. It's focusing on other people instead of yourself. That's a big one. Many of us do that, where we focus our energy and time on how other people think and feel, and we're not really putting that time and effort into ourselves. Some of us are focusing on self-medication, where we're, you know, drinking or doing drugs or substances to try to numb ourselves. Some of us are dealing with forms of procrastination, giving up, avoidance completely, just avoiding everything, acting out. All these are different types of self-sabotage. But ultimately, the reason why we wanted to talk about this, Adriana Anna and I in the show, was to talk about the core belief system. And it all goes back to the core beliefs, and these core beliefs are like the original beliefs that you have growing up about yourself, right? So it would be the belief system that we have, and a lot of times these beliefs are not very healthy, and we have to get to the bottom of these beliefs and understand what they are and understand what's holding us back. And so, you know, we were talking about this just on our break about, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy and about, you know, thinking about and writing this and journaling and trying to get down to the reasons why we do these things. And Adriana, have you tried, you know, being able to journal things like this down or kind of focusing on that? Because we have to basically be able to shoot holes through the logic or through these thoughts to show that they're not necessarily logical.
Right. I mean, it's you just said it, the CBT or CPT. I mean, it's a therapy that you go to specifically for trauma and unlearning those core beliefs. Literally, what I've done in the past is I've wrote down my core beliefs, and it takes you back. It could take you all the way back to your childhood, unfortunately, which is really painful. And then you just learn about why those beliefs were developed and what actions were done in the past that created those beliefs for you, and then just unlearning those beliefs. Like, I'm unworthy. Okay, well, maybe I have been abandoned in the past, but does that make me an unworthy human being? No. So it takes years, honestly, to unlearn, and that you do go to a specific therapist for that. It's a specialization or whatever.
And it's really great when we look at this, because, you know, I've had clients where we walk through these core beliefs and understanding, you know, whether it's everybody's going to leave me, I'm going to be alone. Because remember, for example, a good example is if we believe that everybody's going to leave us, even if they don't leave us, we're going to orchestrate something subconsciously mm-hmm. to push them away.
Yeah, that's self-fulfilling prophecy right there. That's exactly what that is.
To create that reality to actually take place. And I know people say, there's no way we do this, but we do. Because we have to make the core belief true. Because otherwise we have to change our core beliefs. We can't operate from a system of negative core beliefs and not self-sabotage ourselves. It doesn't go hand in hand. We have to literally look at each one of these core beliefs. Why am I not lovable? Oh, because so-and-so left me at age whatever, or because this happened. We have to look at how these actions are separate from our truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ultimately where the rubber meets the road when it comes to showing how these core beliefs no longer hold any value, but it takes effort, and it takes consistency, and it takes time, and it takes belief to get over those.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, even if you don't fully believe it, I mean, you don't have to 100% buy into the fact that, oh, I'm worthy, oh, I'm lovable, and oh, I'm this and that. Like, you don't have to believe it right off the bat. But just putting in that work, and, like, again, opposite action also goes into, like, CPT work. You have, it's, again, training your brain to believe the opposite of what you've been taught.
So powerful. Adriana, great having you on the show. I look forward to having you back on. We got lots of subjects to talk about, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you again for having me. It was fun.
Good times. For everybody that's out there listening, think about it. Start writing these things down. Get a journal. Write down your thoughts. Write down some of these core beliefs. These core beliefs are what are getting in the way. If they are not positive beliefs, they're not positive beliefs. We need to look at them and see and understand how the actions and the things that happen in your life, how we began to believe these, and we need to start seeing that they're not logical, they're not real, and they do not define you, and you can do it. Great show. Thank you all for tuning in. Check out the YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and just look up Ashley Burgess. Just search Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. You can check out the website, ashleyburgess.com, and also check out the latest podcast as well. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. I'll be back this time in three shakes.